Hey, a few years ago, just a little over 2 years ago, we did something we've never done before in the history of a church, is we actually purchased our first facility. And then a couple months later, something happened. We're still kind of like in that process, I guess, somewhat. But we decided to delay that process. And so over the last several weeks, we've been talking about for our city and what does it look like to build out this facility that God has given us. And so we shared with you, we had a little bit of a financial gap to close before we began this process. And so we have a lot to celebrate this morning. Are you ready to celebrate? What's up, 11:30? Let's go. So let's look at this. Look what happened. Look what God did. So over the last few weeks, we have taken in $348,000. Yeah. So here's ultimately what this means as we get to begin this project. All right, so we're really excited about that. These are not pledges. This is money that like we have in the bank right now. But there's a little bit of work to do, right? So we have $951,000 to go. But I'm believing this. This isn't something like we really ever even shared from the stage. It's something I've shared privately with our team and with my family. I'm believing this. I'm only going to say this one time probably. But I believe this. Our God can do the impossible. So Jim Moss is believing, along with you that have crazy faith, maybe, that this facility will be completely paid for by the time we move into it. You believe that with me? Yeah. Today I'm talking about prayer, so I got to go all in because like I believe God can do it. Here's the other beautiful thing that happened is we've had 103 families and individuals make a commitment to increase their generosity in 2022. That's a huge deal. And so I know God is going to do that. And just in a few short weeks, we're going to begin construction on this facility. You saw the imagery of that. It is going to be beautiful. So I just want to say thank you from myself, from Pastor Matt, from all of our team, for your generosity, for believing in this vision. I can't even begin to fathom what everything God is going to do in and through this facility and how it's going to restore and redeem our city. Amen? This morning, I want to talk to you about the way of prayer. But before I get into that, I want to give you a little bit of backstory of just the church that I grew up in, how I grew up. I grew up in a small town in northwestern Oklahoma with parents that were deeply integrated into their faith. And in fact, they were very Pentecostal, okay? If you don't know anything about that, you can just look it up, all right? But I knew nothing else about God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit other than what happened at our local church. How many of you have ever heard the saying, where you work, play, live, and learn? You've heard that? We did all four of those things at our local church. Like we worked there, we played there, we lived there, we learned there. Like, I mean, it was all the time, every day. My dad was a deacon. If you don't know what that means, it's just kind of this elected person that comes alongside the pastor and they help serve the vision of that church. It just means ultimately he's at the church a lot, okay? As was the family. My mom took care of the church lawn. I don't know why she did that. Crazy. What that meant is like we had to be up there all the time because it's really hot in northwestern Oklahoma. They don't have trees out there. It's wheat fields and Bermuda grass. Thank God it thrives in the heat. But we went to church Sunday morning. Thank God, like we just have Sunday morning. What a blessing that is. That's like where you say amen. Like, come on now. But like that was just the appetizer for us growing up. Like Sunday morning was like the tip of the iceberg. Like we went Sunday morning, Sunday night, we went Wednesday night. I mean, there would be like times throughout the year we'd have like these prayer meetings. You ever been to like a Pentecostal prayer meeting? It never ends. It just doesn't end. But as I've reflected back on that, there's been some beauty in that I took from that. And I want to share some of those things this morning with you. As I've reflected back on prayer and these times of prayer in my life, here's the one thing I realized is these people were desperate for God. They were desperate for God to move. I think my phone is playing music. It is. My phone is desperate to be heard this morning. But they were desperate for more of God. They're desperate for God to show up and answer their prayers. Here's another thing that I remember is they were loud, right? Because they were Pentecostal. Like they knew how to shout down God. I've never been a loud person. Like I don't pray loud. I like to get quiet. I like to go in my room and kind of hide. And you know what? We can do both. Some of you like to be loud and that's okay. Some of you like to be quiet. That's okay. God hears both. Amen? They were very emotional. These people were very emotional as they pursued God. They didn't stop with one request. They just kept asking God. That's one thing I remember growing up. I mean, it was just like this endless pursuit. And then there's this crazy thing is they fully believed that God was going to show up and answer their prayers. Like, can you imagine that? Like, they really believed that God was going to answer their prayers. And I remember this one specific story of my father. My dad was a small business owner in Northwest Oklahoma. He was an electrician by trade. And he would be out in all hours of the night working on these rigs and commercial properties so that they would have power when their team showed up in the morning. And he had this machine called a ditch witch. And it was just this machine that would dig a ditch. That way he could put the wire and the pipe in the ground. And sometimes he would be out there in the middle of the night and that machine would stop working. And this is going to sound crazy to you when I share this with you, if you don't know much about prayer, but my dad would get down off that ditch witch and he would lay hands on that metal hood and he would pray over that ditch witch that it would start up and begin working because he didn't know what was wrong with it. And he would get back in the chair of that ditch witch and he would attempt to start that thing and guess what? It would fire up. And there would be times, this happened numerous of times, there would be times it didn't start and my dad would get back down and he would pray again and it would start up. He had this unbelievable faith to pray for anything that God could do it. I love the scripture that Jesus shares with us on the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 7. He says this, keep on asking and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be open for you. For everyone who asks receives. Everyone who seeks finds. And to everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. You know what I love about that passage? It doesn't tell us what to ask for. It says just to keep on asking, to keep on seeking, to keep on knocking, keep on pursuing God. And it goes on. He says, you parents, if you children, I want you to capture this thought of a child this morning. If your children ask for a loaf of bread, do you give them a stone instead? Or they ask for a fish, do you give them a snake? Of course not. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask him? I grew up in a church where there was a lot of prayer, but nobody ever took me aside and taught me how to pray. Nobody ever took me aside and said, I'm going to disciple you. It really happened just like in these settings. And so it wasn't all bad. Like there were a lot of good things that happened, but there was just a lot of things that I didn't understand. In fact, about 15 years ago, when Pastor Matt and I moved to Tulsa to start City Church, I did something I have never done before after being in ministry for 15 years. Is I put myself in a small group of men to be discipled for the very first time. And it changed everything. We went on this 9-month journey of learning to abide in Christ centered around this concept of John 15. And here's what I learned along the way is God desperately wants to be involved in my life. In fact, he desperately wants me to communicate and talk to him through this concept of prayer and allow him in to the conversation. This morning, I'm going to give you 4 lenses as you think about God, as you move into prayer. This first one is this, as God knows. God knows everything about your life. He knows what's going to happen later today in your life. He knows when you're going to need him next week, the situation that you don't even know that's yet to come. God knows. And here's the second lens that I love about God is not only God knows, but God cares. God cares about what is going on in your life, what he knows about. The third one is this, is God is willing to step in and do something about it, but we have to invite him into that process and say, God, I need you right now. God, I don't know what to do. And here's the beauty of this last lens is God is able. God is able to step in and do something about it. I don't know about you, but prayer has always been a struggle for me. always been a struggle. It's not something that I've just naturally figured out. It's been hard. It's been difficult. You see, our natural desire to pray comes from creation. As we, Genesis 1 tells us that we are made in the image of God. God created the heavens and the earth. He created male and female. But here's this other thing, is our inability to pray comes from the fall. It comes from sin. Evil has marred this image, and we have this longing and desire to pray, but oftentimes we just simply can't. There's this friction as we desire to pray, combined with our badly damaged antenna of prayer, and it leads to this constant frustration. Prayer exposes this. It exposes how self-preoccupied we are, and it uncovers our doubts. In fact, often it's just easier not to pray. Have you been there? Yeah. I believe that our American culture is one of the most difficult and hardest places to pray. Why is that? Because we are so busy that when we slow down, it feels incredibly uncomfortable to engage God in prayer. Why is that? Because we're all about accomplishments and productions. It feels useless. It feels like we're wasting our time, and everything inside of us screams, get back to work. What are you doing? What are you doing sitting here? Prayer is this in its simplest form. Prayer is saying something to God. Anything. Saying something to God. Have you ever been to dinner with some really good friends? What happens? The conversation just rolls, doesn't it? My wife and I, Tabby, we have some friends that we love going to dinner with. Why? Because it's not work or ministry. It's energizing. And you know what? We don't premeditate what we're going to say when we go to the dinner table. That's kind of weird, right? Like, I got these 8 points I want to get in before the dinner's over. We don't do that. No, you just show up. In fact, if you recorded the conversation, you would be like, that didn't even make sense. Like, they're all over the place. Hey, did I tell you what happened last week? No, let me tell you. It's like we're interrupting each other. The energy's high. I mean, we're just enjoying one another's company. That's what prayer should look like as we approach God. It's dinner with a really good friend. I love that. But oftentimes we do this. We treat prayer like we're driving in a car and we're focused purely on the windshield. When you do that, what happens? It paralyzes you because you can't see where you're going. You're worried about like the windshield and that's it, and you don't look through it to say, you know what, I actually need to look where I'm going. If we take this approach to prayer, it will completely shut you down and you will freeze up and you will not pray. I grew up in a church where experiencing God was kind of like everything. Like we would have these unbelievable worship moments, and I would get that like tingly feeling. Some of you know what I'm talking about. It's like the Holy Spirit was like moving in the room, and I'd feel God, and I'd be like, this is it. God showed up in my life today. I can go home. And I believe many of us have that in our psyche of like how we experience God in prayer. But when we take that approach and we go on that quest, here's what happens is we often lose sight of God because we're looking for this moment. And God wants this continual conversation, this continual prayer, this continual rhythm with Him. Prayer isn't something that you accomplish in a year. It's something that you pursue over a lifetime. Prayer looks a lot like this, and this is going to seem really elementary for some of you, but that's okay. This is God, all right? This is you, little stick figure. Don't you look great? This is what prayer looks like. It's just connecting to Him, saying something to God. But here's the beauty of prayer is God does this beautiful piece of like He connects back to us. He says, you know what? I actually have something I want to share with you today. Pastor Matt talked about that last week, is the power of the Holy Spirit, the way of the Spirit. You see, learning to pray doesn't offer you and I a less busy life. It offers us a less busy heart. You see, when I become less hectic on the inside, I have this greater capacity to love. And that's the center of the gospel, is this love concept. By spending time with the Father, I integrate my life into His, and He integrates His life into mine. And I become calmer. I become more ordered. The confusion goes away. The pressure goes away. I don't learn to love someone without it changing me. I've known my wife now for 10 years. She has changed me. Why? Because we've spent time together. I know that she loves me. And it's the same with God. As we spend time with Him, you'll develop this relationship with Him and you will begin to change. You'll discover some nest of cynicism, of pride, of self-will in your heart. And ultimately, it's like we become like unmasked. And none of us like to be exposed. And so when it starts to get uncomfortable, I don't want you to pull back, because ultimately this really isn't what prayer looks like, right? This is what prayer looks like, is as we pursue God in prayer, there's this other piece that's going on. And this is what causes us to stop, is this resistance. And this is ultimately what prayer looks like as we journey closer to God, as we go back and forth. In fact, I don't know if any of you ever been to youth camp. We used to play this game at youth camp called push ball. You ever seen this? It's this giant ball, and you get two teams on both sides, and it's just like you battle it out. And the objective of that game is to get that ball over the end line, whether on the sand court or grass. And it's just like, ultimately the ball shoots up in the air and you're just like hitting it as hard as you can. Oftentimes that's what prayer feels like in our lives. It's just like going back and forth, back and forth. And I think one of the most misunderstood things about prayer from our lens is this, is we often try to clean ourselves up before we come to God in prayer. We attempt to be spiritual. We try to get it right. We try to be something that we're not. And Jesus wants you and I to come to Him without pretense in prayer. In fact, when you came to Jesus the first time, you didn't clean yourselves up. You just showed up and He welcomed you in. It's the same in prayer. God's like, I want you to bring the mess. I love this in Matthew 18. Jesus, the disciples were talking to Jesus and they asked them this incredible question. He says, who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Doesn't that sound like some little kids? Is it me? Pick me. And Jesus goes on. He gets a child and He brings a child to Himself and He placed the child among them and He says this beautiful passage. He said, truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. Why does Jesus use this imagery of a child? Because He wants us to catch it, that we don't have to clean ourselves up. Have you ever realized how a child shows up? I don't know if your kids are like mine, but like they don't show up clean. No, they're messy. They say whatever's on their mind. Have you ever been with a kid in a store and they just embarrass you where like you just want to like go out and get in the car and leave them there? They demand their own way. Are your kids like that? They yell, scream, and shout. I mean, have you ever seen a little kid throw a fit on the floor where they just lay down and they pound and kick the floor? That's what little kids act like. You see, when we slow down to pray, we're immediately confronted with how unspiritual that we are, how difficult it is. And here's what I love about little children. They are never frozen from their selfishness. They let it out. They display it for everyone to see. And as parents, we don't scold our children for being totally self-absorbed. That's just who they are. We understand that, you little sinful creature. In fact, we take great delight when our kids share with us what's on their heart. I don't know about you, but man, there's nothing more special than when my sons want to share with me what's on their heart. Tabby cut our boy's hair the other night, And we were getting ready to go to a basketball game, and Noah and Eli have this, you know, cool little mohawk right now. And so I was putting some gel in his hair to fix it how he wanted it. So he goes to the game, we have a good time, and then we come home and go to bed, and he gets up the next morning, he's like, "Dad, my hair, like, it doesn't look good anymore." And so I looked at him, I said, "Noah, all you need is water. Just put some water on it. That gel's already in there." "No, Dad." He, like, you know, kind of does this little thing. He's like, "I need some gel." I said, "Son, I'm telling you, all you need is water. Like, that's it." And so he leaves the room, and he comes back, and he went in my bathroom, and he grabbed my gel. Yeah. And so I looked at him, I said, "Son, did you ask me for that gel?" "No, Daddy." "Okay, well, I need you to go put it back." So he goes back, and he comes back, and his hair's all fixed. And I was like, "Oh, interesting." I said, "Bubba, did you use my gel?" "No, Daddy. I did this with water." He goes, "It looks awesome." And so we sat down, and I said, "Noah, do you know that I love you?" "Yes, Daddy." "Do you know that you're a good son?" "Yes, Daddy." "Bubba, how come you don't trust me?" You know what he said? "I don't know." You know what? And it's the same for you and I with our Father, God. There's times that we just simply don't trust him. And I look back and I say, "You know what? I don't even know. I don't even know why I don't trust you here." And I pressed a little bit further. I said, "Noah, have I ever lied to you?" He said, "No, Dad." I said, "Noah, have I ever done you wrong?" "No, Dad." "Bubba, you can trust me. When I tell you all you need is water, that's all you need." "Okay, Dad." You see, Jesus doesn't say to us, "Come to me, all who have learned how to concentrate in prayer, whose minds no longer wander, and I will give you rest." He doesn't say that. Matthew 11 says, Jesus said, "Come to me, all who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light." What is Jesus saying to us? Come with your overwhelmed life. Come with your wandering mind. Come messy. Please bring the real you. I want the real you. I want to connect and hear what you're worried about, what you're concerned with, what is messing you up in life right now. My youngest, Eli, he does this little prayer thing. I don't know where he got it or he learned it, but he clasps his hands and he closes his eyes. We don't pray like this at our house. Maybe he learned this at church. I don't know. I'm not trying to correct him right now. But he says this. He says, "Dear Jesus, please protect us from the dinosaurs. Dear Jesus, when a nail falls out of my house and it falls down, that you would keep us safe. Dear Jesus, please protect us from the scary monsters." Maybe we watch too much TV at our house, I don't know. And then he closes and he says, "Jesus, thank you for my brothers." Because he doesn't know how to enunciate yet. Why did I share that with you? Because that's the beauty and the purity of a prayer from a four-year-old child of God. There's no pretense. There's no trying to get it right. He's just saying whatever is on his mind and whatever is on his heart. Why do we repeatedly try to fix ourselves up when we come to God in prayer? It's because we feel unworthy. We feel guilty. We think, "I'm too bad to talk to God." The list goes on and on and on. Here's what I love about God. The very things that you and I try to get rid of, the weariness, the distractedness, the messiness, those are the very things that get us in the front door with God. He's like, "Come to me, messy. Come to me with everything you have. I can handle it. This is how the gospel works. This is how the kingdom works. This is prayer, is you bringing your real self to Jesus." When I was 21, I chased a girl to North Carolina. I thought she was the one. Some of you have been there. A few months later, guess what? We broke up. I'm in this city that I don't know anybody. I'm waiting tables. I'm going to school. And so one day I decide to go golfing. I used to like to golf. Then I had children. Maybe one day. And I was golfing by myself that day. And I don't know what happened. It was the Holy Spirit that came over me. And I just began to tell God exactly what was on my mind. And it wasn't pretty. I mean, there was some yelling, there's some shouting. I'm pretty sure I probably threw some golf clubs at some point. But you know what? After I got finished and letting all that out, it felt amazing. Like, it really did. I was like, man, I need to do that more, like crazy person on a golf course. But you know what I sensed the Holy Spirit say to me? Finally. Finally. I've been waiting on you to talk to me, to connect to me like that your entire life. What I begin to realize that day is that I can bring anything to God. He can handle it. In that moment, it changed me forever. The only way to come to God is taking off your spiritual mask, the real you meeting the real God. It's like friends at dinner. I can say anything to them and they understand. Why? Because they know me. They're not going to judge me or condemn me for what I say. I can come to God and I can talk to him about my worries and my concerns and my fears, and he understands. See, God is waiting on you and I to bring the real us. 2 Chronicles says this. I love this scripture. He says, then if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and restore their land. I don't know about you, but there is a deep level of humility that it takes for me to come to God like a child. Because there's moments in my life that I think that I've figured some things out. And then I realize, nope, got a whole lot more to learn. And I'm back to coming to God as a child. Saying, God, I'm struggling here. We don't talk about this a lot, but whoever speaks on this stage, there's a struggle that they go through in getting here on Sunday morning. Saturday night, when you begin to think back through your message and look over it, you're like, man, I have nothing good to say. This is terrible. And then we have to remind ourselves, this isn't about me. This is about what the Spirit of God wants to do. And then you get up Sunday morning and the struggle is back. But we lean in. I love that even the disciples struggled with prayer. They came to Jesus and they said, Jesus, will you teach us how to pray? That's where we get the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6. And I love this. The opening words of the Lord's Prayer says, pray like this, our Father in heaven. This is the first time you hear this language of God as Father. Why was that? Because I think that he was trying to draw this connection of, I want you to come to me as children continually. Don't be afraid to say what's on your mind. You are the center of your heavenly Father's attention. This is where you will find rest for your souls. By coming to God, weary and heavy laden, we discover his heart and heaven touches earth and his will is done. God wants you to come to him wobbly. God wants you to come to him weary and say exactly what's on your mind. Don't hesitate or hold back. Be like a child and tell God exactly what's going on. Here's what I love about children. They have zero filters. They don't have a filter. They say whatever is on their mind. Children can wear you out with their asking. Got some parents in the room. My son, Noah, it's always Noah for some reason. He comes to me yesterday at noon and he's like, Dad, I want to go to Dollar Tree. I said, no. Maybe later. He's smart. He's figured it out. He's like, that means no. 6 hours later, He hounds me for 6 hours. Dad, I want to go to the Dollar Tree. You know what? I load all those kids up, put them in the van, and we grab $4 and we go to Dollar Tree. I'm like, I'm done. Like, I'm getting you your junk. And they go get their dollar item and they're pleased and happy and they're, you know, it's the greatest thing ever for the next 24 hours until they lose it. What happened there? Noah never stopped knocking. He never stopped seeking. He never stopped asking. He was relentless. That's what I love about children. And that's how God wants us to pursue him, is I'm going to keep knocking on the door. I'm going to keep seeking. I'm going to keep pursuing you until you show up and answer. Why? Because I believe that your word is true. There are times that I don't know what to pray. We have an incredible situation going on in the world right now, Ukraine and Russia. I don't know how to pray for that. I don't even know where to begin. It's an unbelievable situation. But we have this beautiful gift in Romans 8 where Jesus talks to us about the Holy Spirit. And Matt did an incredible job talking about the way of the Spirit last week. You need to go back and listen to that message. Romans 8 says this, and the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. We don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. And the Father who knows all hearts knows what the Spirit is saying, for the Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with God's will. There's times that I just take these situations, and this is very frequent in my life, and I just literally hold it before the Lord. I say, God, I don't know what needs to happen in Ukraine. But God, I give it to you. God, you do. God, I ask you to move in Vladimir Putin's heart. God, that he would experience a revelation of your love. And God, that peace would happen. I don't know how that's going to happen. I just hold that before the Lord. I keep holding that before him, allowing the Holy Spirit to intercede and pursue, allowing God to pray on my behalf. You know what I've discovered? As I hold those things before the Lord, there's so much freedom in that because I don't have to figure out the right words. I just lay it before the Lord and allow him to work on my behalf. I'm so thankful and grateful for the work of the Holy Spirit and a church that believes in that. Over the last several months, I've asked one of my mentors to help me grow in this area of prayer in my life. And he's introduced me to several different prayers. I wanted to share one of them with you this morning because it's been so helpful to me. Father Thomas Keating wrote this prayer. It's called the Welcoming Prayer. I'm going to invite you to say it with me this morning. It's simple, yet profound. Let's say it together. Welcome, welcome, welcome. I welcome everything that comes to me today because I know it's for my healing. I welcome all thoughts, feelings, emotions, persons, situations, and conditions. I let go of my desire for power and control. I let go of my desire for affection, esteem, approval, and pleasure. I let go of my desire for survival and security. I let go of my desire to change any situation, condition, person, or myself. I open myself to the love and presence of God and God's action within. Amen. Here's all I'm asking of you today. Lay down your pretenses about prayer. Put aside any misconception that you have about connecting with God. Don't believe the lie that you have to get it right. Don't believe the lie that it doesn't work. Just begin by saying something to God. Come to him like a child. Bring your real self. Say whatever's on your mind. God desperately wants to connect with you. He desperately wants to hear from you. I want our church to be a church of prayer. It's Pastor Matt's heart that we would be a church of prayer. Scripture even tells us that my house will be called a house of prayer. But oftentimes, we let all this resistance get in the way. We say, you know what, I'm just going to stop there. Keep pursuing. Keep leaning in. Keep coming to him as a child over and over again. Let me pray for you. Father, thank you for your word and your truth. God, I thank you that we can come to you at any moment, and God, you meet us there. And God, I pray that we would catch this morning like never before. And God, that we would realize that, God, we can come to you like a child. God, we can say what is on our minds. And God, you can handle it. God, we thank you for the gift of communicating with you. And I pray that you would open our hearts and our minds to that like never before. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Hey, I'm going to invite you to stand with me. Grab your communion elements. Every week at City Church, we close the service with communion. It's just this recentering reminder of what Jesus has done in and through our hearts. I'm so thankful for his sacrifice of coming to earth to live and breathe and give up his life so that we could experience him, so that we could connect with him through prayer. This wafer represents Christ's body that he gave up for you and I, for peace and freedom. This juice represents his blood that he shed that day as he gave up his life for you and I. And invite you to take the wafer with me this morning as we take communion. I invite you to take the juice with me. God, we thank you for your sacrifice. We thank you for the gift of life that you have given each and every one of us. And God, I pray this morning that as we leave this room, God, that prayer would be more real than ever in our life. And God, that we would break through in ways, God, that we've never broken free. God, in the idea and the gift of prayer of connecting with you. God, that you would help us to push through that resistance, the distractions, the noise, and God, that we would just come to you as a child and tell you what's on our minds. We thank you that we can do that. We give you glory and honor. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Hey, thank you for being here this morning. If you're a guest with us today, we would love to connect with you. Right outside the lobby, across the lobby, you'll see the welcome room. And if you'll do me a favor and just stop by there, I have a gift for you as our guest this morning. Don't forget to if you're going to be participating in Lent with us, you can do that on Wednesday and following along in the daily podcast and all that. Every week, we close out with our mission here at City Church. You'll see it on the screen behind me. And let's say it together this morning, wherever you are. See you guys. Is she true?